Hello, Herstorians. I'm your host, Heather Ashley, and welcome to another episode of Women of Herstory, a podcast dedicated to celebrating women who have made or are making their mark on our society. Today, I have with me the creators of New York City-based Party Claw Productions, Laura Kay and Ashley Christine Vega. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
We're very excited to be here.
Tell us, what is Party Claw Productions and why did you guys create it?
Ooh, a great question there. Well, I will read our little snippet that we have online. Party Claw Production is an independent, multidisciplinary media production company specializing in experimental, female-driven work that challenges industry standards. Our mission is to break down stigmas without breaking the bank, to empower marginalized voices, and to champion genuine feminist stories.
Mm. I love that. That's a solid mission statement. Those are hard to write, you know?
We definitely went back and forth on that quite a bit.
That's my phrase, Heather.
why was this a mission that you guys have? Like, how did this come to be?
Well, we're both sort of steeped in the industry here in the city, wearing many hats. And there's just sort of like a huge gap between opportunities and the people who want to be creating things.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a woman or a person of color or a member of the LGBTQ+ community. And it's just really hard to get your voice out there or to find opportunities, because this is still very much an industry predominated by white men.
Yeah.
So we were like, you know what, let's just like make our own stuff and let's like put a name to it and just stop asking for permission or waiting for opportunities to come to us. And we both have enough savvy and enough knowledge of the industry to like just start producing our own work. So we decided to just pull the trigger and do it.
That's awesome. Have you guys looked at any of those organizations that are like women in theater or like women in directions? And sometimes they have all those like big workshops and like grant stuff that you can apply for and all of that.
Oh yeah, that's definitely next steps, like on our list of like things to do.
Yeah, absolutely. It is also really important for us to foster community. So we have been reaching out to other theater companies for potential future collaborations. We have been reaching out to underserved voices within the playwriting community. It's very, very important to us that like pretty much all marginalized voices were like, hey guys, this is your place to come here. We're happy to help you. And if a project isn't necessarily right for us, we're happy to be like, this seems more like it would work with this theater company, or this feels like it might be a different type of project altogether. And so we have been receiving some fun submissions, and it's really exciting to read people's work and have people be excited about making things and not having to ask permission.
Yeah. And I love what you said, that you guys are like, you know, if the project isn't right for us, you know, you guys are in the city, you know, a ton of people. Like we all know more people than we think we do, you know, like
truly,
like the degrees of separation are not that large and people are pretty accessible, and but sometimes you need someone to help you facilitate that connection. And so when you're submitting a project to a production company and sometimes when you just don't hear anything back, you're like, well, was it that it was bad? What is happening? Why is no one, why have I not received any feedback on this other than, sorry, not this time? You're like, but.
Yeah, it can be very frustrating and honestly kind of lonely. I personally haven't produced a ton of work on my own. I'm mostly like an actress and director, but I know Laura had done several projects in the city, like I Kissed Your Boyfriend, that was like, you know, producing and making those connections and knowing these people. And I'm just like, wow, this is incredible. We do have a huge network of people that we know. We might as well like all get together and try to make stuff. Yeah. And I will say, I think people are, I would say almost more accessible now within the pandemic than they were before. People are just like kind of reaching out and wanting to connect with fellow artists and fellow people, like on a human level, just like, hey, you're a person. Can we like talk? Can we like set up something and just have a conversation? Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think it's really cool to be able to connect on a human level and be like, hey, we're all going through this thing, mm-hmm. but also like, I like to make stuff. You like to make stuff. Let's make stuff.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. So you mentioned that like with the pandemic, you guys have been feeling like people are a little more accessible, but how has it affected the current projects that were already in the works when, you know, the world went to crazy.
Yeah. Well, one of the nice things about sort of the creation of Party Claw is that it was born in the pandemic. So we started from this place of knowing that we were going to be facing this like very specific challenge of like the industry is shut down, and theater looks very different right now, and we're going to have to adapt in new ways to that. So we sort of had that in mind as we were like planning our projects. We have had some success in terms of like adapting theater pieces for a digital setting. We did in October, we did Crystal Skillman's Open, which is a beautiful play Ashley starred in. And we did it on Zoom and adapted it completely for online streaming. And it was an amazing learning experience because we were like, how do we take this stage piece and put it on a computer screen and still make it feel like theater? And yeah. we had a brilliant director, Sophie Sam, who really was able to create something that people were able to watch and they were like, wow, I felt like I was in a theater and I felt like I was watching a piece of theater, which was like, oh, like so amazing for us to hear. And yeah, so it's been sort of this amazing journey of like, how do we take the things that we know and like adapt them to this like new world that we live in where like everything is like now on a computer screen and we can't really be in the same room and we can't come together the way that we normally can, but like we can connect in like new and different ways, which is like both very challenging but also very exciting.
Yeah, flexing a whole other part of your creative brain that probably you didn't know you had. You know,
right. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. I love to see what's happening within the live theater realm and how people are adapting. Kerrigan and Loudermilk, the composers, they recently just did this thing called the Mad Ones Lab.
Yeah.
And they had like, I think it's 76 different, they split up the Mad Ones, their show, into like 9 different sections. And then they assigned like 6 director, like full creative teams to 6 different ones around the world. I only know this much detail because I was very fortunate enough to be in one of the sections. But what they did was
awesome. Congrats.
It was so cool. Oh my God. But what they did, the coolest part of what they did is they've now created this engine. So every time you click play at the start of this, you will get a different version of the show every single time because it just cycles through all, it just randomly assigns a different clip of the 6 different people per section's video. Does that make sense?
That's pretty brilliant, actually. It's like roulette.
Yes, roulette, but it's like slash choose your own adventure because you can like request a specific specific video if you like know someone in one of them. Like it was crazy. And that's something that literally I cannot imagine would have happened in any other circumstance, because there was no need or like, we didn't know that was something we wanted. And it's so cool to see everything that's happening. And I love to hear that you guys are really finding ways to make plays engaging in an online format. It's hard. It's a little easier with musical, easier, quote unquote, but like plays are a little, like a whole other ball game. Like that's tough. That's tough.
It's definitely just a completely different process. And I think Laura kind of touched on this. We are very lucky to be well-rounded artists and have done theater as well as film, and to have worked on both sides of the table, essentially, and kind of know what goes into making a production, not just like show up, know your lines, and like it's good, which is great, and which is like a very specific skill set. But thankfully, we both have been involved in many projects in which we do have to wear many hats. And it was just a really interesting challenge to be like, okay, we're completely in love with the script. Now what? And it was very much like, well, do we want to try to get a theater space? Like, is that even legal in New York City right now? Would we be able to rent a theater? Oh. And it, like, the answer ended up being no. Like, we just couldn't get access to what we needed at the time. And so we were like, oh my gosh, well, where else could we possibly do this? And I was like, well, I have like a big blank wall in my bedroom. Is that like a thing you can use? And our director was like, yeah, like what if we just did that, and then we don't have to rent anything, and then we can just like figure it out from there. And lots of it was like, how do we get lights to change? How do we, like, logistically speaking, is it safe for us to have someone in my bedroom with me to be a stage manager? Is it safe to let, just so many things that you had never thought about before. Like, you could just walk into a rehearsal space with your bag and your coffee and be fine to go beforehand. But like to go to a rehearsal, I would have to set up all of the lights and all of the set and have props here and run things on your own, essentially. But I was so just beyond thankful to have a team that was so supportive of me and was like, what do you need? Take a breath. What do you need? We're here to help you. We can't be there physically, but what can we do to support you in this process? And like, I think doing this one in particular just really proved, just like, you have to trust the people you're working with. And we are very fortunate with Party Claw to be able to handpick the people that we work with, which tends to be mostly women. Who knew? Yeah, I know. Crazy. But yeah, we love women and our feminist ally men, and being able to make things that we want to make is like pretty great, I think.
That actually launches directly into the next question, which we've kind of danced around, but we're going to get specific. And what do you guys hope to achieve with Party Claw Productions?
I think ultimately, you know, we just hope to continue to create work that champions these marginalized voices and tells these feminist stories. You know, Ashley and I have been pals for a while now. And we always, you know, whenever we talk about, you know, art that moves us or stories that move us, it's always just like the genuine stories about like real life people. And, you know, those are the things that we're drawn to. And so I think if we can just continue to make work about real people, and continue to build our community and create a place where people feel like they can be heard and they can create and they can have a base, you know, I think that is ultimately the dream. Mm. You know, and then at some point have like, you know, a brownstone. Or, you
know, yeah, we like kind of have this like hype dream of like, we're just gonna one day buy a brownstone, right? Mm-hmm. Like a brownstone in New York City. And the first floor will be like Party Claw Productions HQ. And then we'll like live above it.
What about the basement? Is that the stage?
Like, oh, yeah, yeah. Basement theater, like, you know. As, like, you just dance did party. Like,
okay. You need.
I thought about the basement. Oh my
God. So there's like so one that we've been looking at that's like $5 million.
Sure.
Like, oh, well, if we each sell the shows that we're working on and like get picked up by a network, we would still need to sell two more shows to be able to buy this brownstone.
Then we'll like each get a floor to live on. You know, it's going to be great.
Genius.
It's going to be great. It's going to be extravagant.
You know, what's so funny, I'm so happy to hear that I'm not the only one that just like, I sit and I scroll through like Street Easy all day.
It's dangerous.
People scroll through Instagram. I'm like, no, I'm looking at housing listings. There's also, speaking of Instagram, this account called Cheap Old Houses. Listen, get on it if you're not already following it, because it's all, they're super cheap. They're all in like need of repair there, but they're all historic, beautiful homes that you just like want to cry because they're so, but some of them, they're like mostly in like Ohio or Nebraska or like really far away, but they're still stupid pretty and they're like $40,000.
This is want a blue that house. It's in Warren, Ohio. Laura's from Ohio. Is that near where you're from?
I was born in Warren, Ohio.
You were born there? That's crazy.
In that house. I'm just kidding.
What? That's my home.
That's hilarious.
But no, seriously. I am obsessed with scrolling through and finding houses. And that sounds like the Party Claw HQ sounds like the best idea in the world.
There's gonna also be like a cat courtyard. Like,
yeah.
Courtyard where like cats will be there, like roaming.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I think it's just really important to like dream big. I mean, we didn't come to New York to have small dreams. And like, why not scroll and look at $1 million brownstones, you know, just to get your mind off the insanity of this year anyway.
Truly. And it's, you know, it's good to have, I'm always a fan of having what most people like to consider pipe dreams. But I feel like if you say it enough times, if you give yourself a really specific outlandish goal, you start actually genuinely working toward it, you're going to end up somewhere near it, at least, you know, it might not be exactly what you thought it would be. Like, it might not be the brownstone, but it might be somewhere really close. And it's because you told yourself at some point that this was what you wanted to do. So you start working toward that, and it might even shift into something else, but you were already on your way to making that particular dream happen. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like, I think Ashley and I are both, you know, we're realists, but we're also like very, very big dreamers. So, 100%. And you have to be to like make it in this crazy, crazy city, and to stick around. And especially in this industry, you sort of have to like guard your giant dreams.
Yeah. Truly. True. Yeah, absolutely.
Laura, you should tell her about Dream Phone.
The board game.
I have it.
I knew we were friends.
Wait, we'll just take a pause for a moment.
I'm so obsessed with Dream Phone. There was one particular guy, I think it was like, is there a Steven in that game? Because I was
obsessed. The bad boy?
I was obsessed with him. I literally took the card out and I put it on my wall. I love
that. That's some dedication right there.
I'm gonna find him for you.
That is so funny. Oh my God. No one. Oh my gosh. That is so incredible. Yeah. Yeah. Something about that stupid hair I was just obsessed with.
I think every girl
it's like the 90s haircut.
And he kind of is like, I don't know what it was. Yeah. He's like kind of mean. It was so stupid. I was like, I can fix him. I can fix him.
I'm like under a jean jacket. So
that's it. That's what it was. That's what got me.
I purchased this myself off of eBay.
Yes.
The phone still works.
Incredible.
So, you know,
that might be one of the best life decisions that you've ever made.
I know, best money I've ever spent. I'm not going to tell you how much I spent on it because it was too much, but
never.
Vintage from 1996.
Oh my God. Wow.
The phone still works. Like, what a steal, honestly. You pay money and you receive joy. I think that's like totally worth it.
And now I can call all my 90s boys anytime I want, and they can tell me clues about which 90s boy has a crush on me.
Yeah. Weirdest game. Weirdest concept for a game, but also kind of genius. Like, really, really interesting concept. Kind of like another choose your own adventure, but not quite like Clue choose your own, sort of.
Because they were like, 11-year-old girls, they have like a lot of hormones, they like boys, let's make them a game. They like talking on the phone. Yeah, let's make them a game.
I bet there was one woman in that room when they designed that game.
If that.
Oh my God.
It's like the same, it's probably like the same woman who's in the room when like all the men are designing sex toys and naming them really like stupid things. She's like, can we not name this the womanizer? And all the men are like, no, the women are gonna love this. They're gonna love this. We're gonna put like a jewel on it and they're gonna be obsessed.
We'll put it in a pink box and then they'll buy it. Of course.
They'll just love it. Yeah. They'll love it.
The woman in the room is like,
oh my God.
I don't think there are women in the room.
No, probably not. No. Oh my God. That is so funny. I was just talking about Dream Phone to someone else, like not that long ago. And I'm not sure why, but they did not have the same experience. They did not have that game. They thought I was crazy. And I was like, listen, I memorized some of those little clues and I would pretend that I was dialing the one that I was supposed to do, but I would do a different one because I wanted to listen to a different thing because I was a weirdo.
You're like, I am a Rain Man. You a dream.
I wouldn't be surprised if it, like, some part of me still remembers some of those
phone numbers. You're like 555-1122.
That's Steve.
Is that Steve's number?
Probably. Who knows? God.
So good.
I wonder what Steve's up to these days.
Oh man.
Well, apparently there was a different version, like a sort of, I guess, the same game, but like with a different name. And Chris Evans was one of the models for the 90s boys.
No. What?
A friend of ours told us this piece of trivia, and I was like, that can't be real. And we Googled it, and it was like, he's like super thin and has the haircut and is, of course, breaking hearts all over the nation.
Oh. So it's basically like how they CGI'd him to look at the beginning of the first Captain America
movie. Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, he looks just like that.
Oh, see, that just makes me have nightmares though. Like
honestly, yeah.
It's just too scary. Like oh man. Oh my gosh, that is so funny. Wow. Well. have you guys come across any major setbacks in the process of establishing your production company?
Oh, have we? I would say the most prominent and immediate one that we noticed was being discounted immediately because we're women. And I think furthermore, being discounted because we're young women. Yeah, it's been a really interesting time. There was actually, when we were working on Open, the show is a magic show without magic. So like magic is a very big part of the play, and parts of it are very presentational. And because we were doing it on Zoom, we wanted to do it like up close in-person magic. Mm. And so when we had announced the show and had the key art was me like with a deck of cards, like looking magical or trying to.
Succeeding.
Thanks, appreciate it. But we had a handful of straight white men who had reached out via Instagram to be like, oh my gosh, I'm a magic like expert, though they were not. And they were like, I just wonder like how you're doing all this magic stuff, like what's going on? Is it actually a magic show or is it a play? I need to know every single detail about this. And I'm here to offer my services if you need them. And I was like, first of all, like we don't really know you, and we're like not on professional terms. So it's strange that you'd reach out in that capacity, but
in that way, that's just very strange. I feel like if you want to work with someone, you, in that sort of capacity, like there's a different process for that. And especially if the show's already been announced and there's production photos, that probably means that all those types of positions have been filled. They are like, that's so odd.
Right? Yeah. And so we were like, oh, that's like kind of nice of them to offer, but also like we didn't ask.
Yeah.
And like, what makes you think that we don't already have an actual professional magician on staff to teach this? Yeah. And we ended up hiring a very legitimate, very professional magician who tours around the country doing magic shows, who knows Penn and Teller personally, who like,
wow.
Yeah, she teaches magic for films and charges tens of thousands of dollars to do that, and is like a very legitimate magician. And we're like, yeah, we got it covered. Like,
yeah,
sir, with your opinion, you don't really need to come out and let us know that.
Yeah,
but that continues to happen all throughout the process. We'll get random people, typically straight white men, who will reach out to us and be like, hey, how are you doing this? If you need help, let me know. And it's like, again, if we already announced it, we're like beyond the process.
Right.
Of like,
it would be seeking. One thing if you had like, if you were announcing a position being opened, or like if you're like saying like a projected season and upcoming slots that need to be filled or whatever. But when it's like actual show photos being, or like production photo, it's just, that's very interesting. That would be like a choreographer extending like an email for a musical that's already posting like publicity shots. Yeah. They're like, do you need a choreographer? Do you need a dance captain? They're like, we got that. That happened 6 months ago.
Months ago.
Yeah. That's odd.
Yeah, there just seems to be this like pervasive idea, and I think it's just sort of like perpetuated in the industry itself that like young women don't know what they're doing. Like, because it's even like I've had instances where I've like posted a picture or, you know, a promo of like, oh, working on script edits of this, that, and like some guy will be like, oh, happy to provide feedback, and I'm like, why do you think I don't know what I'm doing? You know, like,
you didn't ask.
it's interesting. It's just like, you know, we're at the point now where we have, you know, projects under our belt. You know, we've got a bit of clout, and we're working hard, and we're doing our thing, and like, and yet people are still like, are you sure you know how to do that? And it's so like flabbergasting at times. I'm like, well, if you go to our website and like read our bios, you can see like what qualifies us to, and like, it's not to say that like we're experts or that we're like perfect or that
we're learning as we're going. Absolutely. Right. Yes, we are.
Right. And like, I think both of us would be the first to reach out for help when needed, but like, there's a way to go about things and like a way to want to collaborate with someone without like insulting them and being like, I know you're going to do this wrong, so you need my help.
Yeah. I feel like that sort of message would be much better received, like from, let's say from the, like a magician standpoint, just being like, hey, cool production that you guys are doing. I do this. If in the future you have another production like that, I'd love to work with you. And I would love to like bring my skill set to your productions. That is the way to go about that sort of thing. And I wonder if maybe they've had success in the opposite way, and so they just assume that that's going to be that's appropriate or acceptable. I don't know. Cause I feel like if you were to reach out, I don't know, as an actress or director, and while someone's already announced a show and you're like, if you need my expertise on this production, I would like some more details on exactly what you're doing. And also you should use me. Like, what?
I just no. Like, I would never even imagine like doing that. And I think it's, yeah, it's crazy to me. Like, unless somebody asked me my opinion or asked for my expertise or whatever, I don't think I would offer it freely to like someone who already clearly is like doing the thing.
That's a thing I've been wondering a lot too. And I'm wondering if like us not being perceptive to them offering help is like the first time that they've heard no. Which is a very real possibility, and which is nothing against them, which is nothing against us. I just, the whole purpose of creating this was so that we could work the way we wanted to work outside of the confines of industry standards. Mm. Not because we want to like do things worse than what the industry is doing. We have higher standards than what is currently being done. We're not like, you're going to work a 12 out of 12, no lunch for you. Like, we would never do that. We want everybody to like enjoy what they're doing and have fun doing it.
Yeah.
And if anything, we're having higher standards than what is currently being done. Mm. So if blindly reaching out to people and saying, hey, you're doing this wrong, this is how you do it, when you're not actually a professional, like, we're not going to work with people like that. Executive decision. And we are going to choose the people we want to work with and the projects we want to work on rather than what other people are like pushing in our faces.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of projects you want to work on, I have a twofold question. do you have any currently upcoming? And also, how can creators approach your company if they have a project that they think fits your company's message?
We are currently, I'm very excited about this. I'm pumped. So we just started rehearsals for our next project. So in 2016, I wrote a solo show called I Kissed Your Boyfriend, Another Feminist Rant. And premiered it at the United Solo Theater Festival, and then remounted it a year later at the Pit. And the show is an autobiographical sort of comedic look at my life and my romantic blunders. Putting it mildly, there are some pretty big blunders. We are adapting it into a series of vlogs, so kind of like a little web series. Because again, we are keeping an eye on how we can take theater pieces and sort of adapt them for the world right now. And I think this piece, because it is a solo show, lends itself really well to this sort of format. So been doing a lot of rewrites and updates because I've had many a blunder since 2016, let me tell you. So we're going to start filming in a couple of weeks, and I'm really, really pumped. I'm really excited to share this story again in this format. I'm really excited for Ashley to direct, and it's going to be really, really fun, I think. And just a big old feminist fun time.
Oh, that sounds so cool. I can already, like, I feel like I can picture it. You know, like, I feel like I'm already, like, vibing in it. I need it. I need to see
That's
it
what
now.
We need the good vibes. I love it. I will say, like, when Laura and I had first became friends and she was like, yeah, I did this show and it was like off Broadway, and I'm like, kind of a big deal. I was like, oh, casual, no problem. Okay. She didn't say that. It was just like my thoughts that like filled in the blanks. But she was like, yeah, so I have this like actual play that's like actually been done, and it's like good. I was like, awesome. I'd love to read it. So I read it and was like, this is some of the most honest storytelling about what it is to be a young woman that I've read in recent times. Mm. I was like, I can't imagine seeing this live, and especially seeing Laura do it. I mean, she is like incredibly well-trained and just really good at what she does. And I was like, oh my gosh, I bet this was incredible. So I had always thought, I was like, oh, Laura, what if we did this again? Like, what if I like low-key directed you in this show? And she was like, I mean, it's like, maybe one day we'll see. And then, like, the world shut down. And we had always thought about maybe potentially remounting it, or maybe, like, wanting to make some changes to it to, like, update it to today. And then we were just kind of like, what if we adapted it into, like, an episodic kind of honest talking to the screen thing that feels so current right now?
Yeah,
because like we're kind of spilling our hearts out to you on Zoom, and like we've never even met in person, but it feels so current and just so vulnerable in the way that she's able to talk about these like very potentially difficult times in her life that she just like takes in stride with like absolutely hilarious humor and just originality. And I was like, that is it. I think we can do some really cool stuff with it.
Yeah.
And especially having collaborated on other Party Claw projects and like knowing how we work and knowing kind of the challenges of adapting a theater work to something that people can consume in their homes. This time we won't be as surprised, you know, this time around we've learned new things and we have new skills, and we're able to kind of keep everything in house so that we have hands on all parts of this and are able to tell the story that Laura originally wrote. It's going to be really cool. I'm so excited to get started. So that's going to be super fun.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it too. And I think that when I wrote it originally, you know, in 2016, I was I was an angrier person in 2016.
Weren't we all? Well,
you know.
Not all of us, apparently. 47% of this nation was not.
But it's nice to revisit it now and sort of like with fresh eyes. And one of the things I feel like it's always missing from our world is like coming of age stories about women. God, I mean, we've gotten some really good ones in the past couple of years, thank God. But I think we could always use more, especially like talking about sex and puberty and things that like girls don't really get to talk about or hear about as much. And so I'm really excited to just get that out there and share that with people, because I think, you know, when we watch movies and shows about young people, it's always about like boys and their like sexual awakenings or whatever the fuck. a lot of those stories are really, really great, but like, boy, have I seen a million of them, and I would like to,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that's such an important story to tell. And especially I feel like there's a gap for women in their 20s figuring out life when they're not already married with kids, or when they're like pursuing other things because they're, you know, in their 20s or mid late 20s, whatever. And I feel like there's such a huge gap. You're either like the spinster or you're married in a lot of these tellings, and you're just like, but there's majority of women in their 20s who are not married, who, I don't know about majority, but probably half of us at least aren't married, aren't having kids right now. It's not necessarily on the thing, and you're just like figuring out like, do I even like this kind of guy? Do I like women? Do I like both? What's going on? And that's like a whole journey in your 20s.
What's my deal? You know, like, yeah, like I'm, you know, I'm 31 now, and you know, I think there is a huge pressure on women, I think, to like have it figured out by the time you're 30. And I'm like, frick, I don't know. Like, and I, you know, so I'm glad that I'm revisiting this piece and, you know, adding in a lot of the stuff that has happened in the past 4 years, because, you know, being in your late 20s is a weird time. It's just like this, you know, there is this expectation, especially like from older folk, to be like, well, you're almost 30, so like, where are those kids?
Clock's ticking. You're like,
I know.
And I'm like, everybody calm down. We're fine.
I'm still trying to find a job. I like, I don't know. You know, I think there's just this huge societal pressure to be like, well, by the time you're 30, you got to settle down. You got to have it all figured out. I'm like, figure what out? I don't know. You know, so I just think, you know, it's been nice to sort of get that all out there and remind people that there's no like deadline.
Exactly. I think there's a societal pressure, but I also think there's definitely a societal shift that women in particular have not been given the time to allow themselves to be okay with. Yeah. I mean, even last year when I turned 25, and I'm 26, and I was like, oh my God, I'm 25. Like, I'm almost 30. I have to have my life figured out.
Almost 30.
I was like, who is putting that pressure on me? Literally nobody but myself. And now I'm like, okay, I don't have to have my life figured out. I don't have to own this brownstone before I'm 30. I don't have like, nothing has to happen at a specific time. And I think because we are not telling enough of those stories of people who are still figuring it out, late 20s, early 30s, even like into your 40s, because life doesn't end.
No.
Just because you reach a certain age, like you still live.
And what's a thought has come to me that I don't know that I've had before, but the fact that like, I was thinking about how I like read this random article that was like, it was this woman who, she had to go out on a business trip, and her husband was going to be in charge of the children. And she was like, am I crazy for having like made all these meals and frozen them and written out all these schedules? And then also I'm doing this because he can't cook. He doesn't know when to do all these things. And it's like, well, that, and no one thinks that's great. Most people were like, no, that's normal. Like, women do that. And it's like,
that's insane.
Right. And I think the whole thing is like, it's okay for women or for men to be not as quote unquote put together inside the household because that's the woman's job. And she'll also have her other jobs and she'll just have to figure out how to do all of it. And she'll just have it all together and she'll be amazing. And it's like, no, she shouldn't have to do all of that and have all of that figured out. Like, he should probably know the schedule and also know how to cook, at least make a sandwich for the kids to take to school. You know, like, think about all those comedies, those films that are about adult man babies. And everyone's like, baha, that's funny. Oh, look at that. Whatever. He's fine. He's trucking along. That's a good guy. You're like, well, if that was I feel like I've seen a movie starring Rebel Wilson where everyone was just calling her sloppy because that was the same type of character. It was just a woman being that character and nobody liked, I don't know that that's true, but you know what I mean? Like,
right. Yeah. There's a double standard there that like men can be like 45 and be like have no aspirations of figuring it out. And they're like, what a likable guy. And then a woman can be 29 and like a bit of a mess. And they're like, get your shit together, girl. Yeah,
like this messy bitch. No, like, no, why is that standard? Mm. So we're here to kick that in the face.
Yes.
We don't want that. We're not going to hold separate standards for people other than to like raise your standards, be better, first of all. But secondly, we're not going to be an idealized version of anything. Mm. Everything that we're putting forward is almost honest to a fault. And the things that we're doing is telling stories that people haven't heard before. And like, in theory, it would make sense. Like, this is a sexually liberated woman who's going through a hard time and is sharing that with people. Mm. Why is it taking so long for this story to be told now instead of every single dude bro movie that has come out since the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited for that to happen. I can't wait to see it. That's going to be amazing. Now, the second part of the question, how can people approach your company with their projects that they think fit well with your message?
Well, certainly not the way those other dudes did.
But seriously, just like send us an email, partyclawproductions@gmail.com. Several people have emailed us scripts and ideas and we freaking love it. You know, no guarantees that, you know, like we're an indie production company, but we have a seasonal reading series called Party Claw Proto Plays, where each season we do a developmental reading of a brand new play.
Cool.
So we're always looking for new plays for that, and also just looking for cool people to collaborate with, whether they be actors, directors, designers, whatever, you know, just like reach out to us. And one of the really cool things about doing a lot of remote work right now is that we've been able to collaborate with people in LA, and our director for Open, Sophie, she was in Michigan. Like, you know, it's really cool to be able to expand the circle beyond, you know, the New York City core, which is actually quite small.
Yeah.
New York City is a big city, but like, you know, the community is little. So it's cool to be able to hear from people all over the place and connect with them over the interwebs. So yeah, please email us and send us stuff and we'll at least respond and be nice to you. So we'll always guarantee that.
What has been your favorite part of running the production company so far?
So many cool things, I think, have come our way. I think I would say meeting new people who are like-minded and who want to tell the stories we want to tell and who we don't have to explain feminism to. Like, that's a thing that it's just a breath of fresh air that we have the same rights as men do. Like, we don't have to like come into the room and be like, all right guys, this is a safe space, because handpicking the people we want to work with, it's already going to be a safe space. And we know that, and our other artists know that. And if you know that, you know, you can show up in sweatpants and no one's going to judge you. Like, please show up in sweatpants. We're all going to be in sweatpants.
Like, don't wear pants at all, because we're all on Zoom.
So. Exactly. Just like, live your truth, be whatever. And I think that has been absolutely wonderful. Mm. And I guess coming together to creatively solve problems. Mm. I always say one of our best attributes is that we fall a lot, but we always land on our feet. And so we, you know, things go wrong. That is the nature of live theater. That's the nature of life. Mm. And I just have to say, when things get crazy, when the shit hits the fan, it's always really nice to have Laura by my side and know that, like, no matter what, we will figure it out and it will get done. The work will get done. And like, it might not be the conventional way, mm-hmm. but like, if it works, it works.
Hey, you know?
Yeah, I will say that Ashley and I have like very complementary skill sets, and we're like besties. So I think we can be real with each other, and we can be like, listen, Bish, you need to calm down.
As she has told me many times.
I think like, you know, we sort of like, if one of us is freaking out, the other one can very easily be like, hey, baby girl, go take a nap. You know what I mean?
Take a nap and eat a snack and we'll try again later.
Go have some hot Cheetos. But I think like that, I mean, I think that because we do like collaborate so well, whenever there's a problem, we're like, let's do it. And we just get it done. There's never been a moment where we're like, butting heads, or like there's, you know, and it's been sort of egoless, which is nice. And yeah, it's just really great. Like, I think so far, you know, just finding these great people to connect and collaborate with, and just seeing things work. I think when we produced Open and that all came together, I think that was for me, like, because I was just in a producer role, and
she says she was like literally keeping all of us sane and like
but it was really satisfying to sort of sit back and just like watch it all come together, and like and we had like pretty sizable audience, because you know, people were like, hey, I can watch this in my underwear in my living room, great, and I don't have to be like in a state or experience. So that I think so far has been really validating to be like, yeah, we know what we're doing, and like, we're good at it.
And we got like good reviews, and our audience seemed to really, really connect with the story that we were telling. And as Laura said, like the playwright, Crystal Skillman, we absolutely adore her and are just big fans of like her work and the way she works. And yeah, just getting to meet people and work on the things we want to.
Yeah, it sounds like the general consensus between the two of you, which is interesting, is that you guys, I love that your favorite part is connecting and having support and supporting each other. Like, that's such a cool, that's such a great thing to love, because I feel like that's not the conversation I was expecting that to stem from that question. No, really? Truly, I was ready to hear about like being featured in this and being featured in that, or like being able this and this. And that there's not that that's a bad thing to love and be proud of, but it's just, I think it's so telling of who you guys are, to say that your favorite part has been connecting and supporting artists and each other. Like, that's excellent. That's what you need from a production company. That's the whole point.
Exactly. You know? And I think Laura and I are very similar in that, like, I mean, I won't speak for Laura. I will speak for myself. Never speak for you. But I know personally, like, one of my biggest goals as an artist is just to continue to create. And like, if one day 10 years from now, like, that happens to bring money or like renown of some sort, that's great. But like, I'm here to make stuff. I'm not here necessarily to like get famous doing what we're doing.
Right.
Like, I want to feel good about the things I'm making. Yeah, I mean, ultimately it's about the work, and if the work and the stories are what's getting told, then like, my ego does not have to be a part of it whatsoever.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Do you guys have any advice for someone wanting to get into production?
Just do it. I mean, seriously though, I think like, you know, stop asking for permission and just do it, and have a very strong vision. I think like, once we had a very clear mission and, you know, everything aligned with that everything falls into place. And I would also say, like, don't be afraid to fail. Like, we fail all the time and, like, make mistakes and figure stuff out. But that's how you learn. Like, you just really have to be like, wow, we effed this up big time. Mm-hmm. And now we have to, like, dig ourselves out. Yeah. Like, how do we do that?
Yeah, you're like, well, that one didn't work. We know that. We'll just tick that on ways not to do this.
Exactly, exactly. But, like, there is no, like, with anything creative or, you know, anything in this industry, like, there is no necessarily, like, textbook right way to do anything. Like, sure, like, there's the right type of equity contract or whatever. I mean, you know, it's about finding your own way and finding what works for you and trying and trying and trying again and not being discouraged when you fail. Because that's just part of it. And I think, again, I think what makes our collaboration so successful is that Ashley and I are like, okay, well, let's figure out how to fix this. We don't sit in the failure and like mope and be sad. We're just like, well, damn, that was awful. So
exact words. Well, damn, that was awful. And then we just like pick up and figure out our next step.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have like a drink, but you know, we just move on and keep going. You
a
know?
Bottle of wine. Yeah. Gosh, Laura, that's such good advice.
Oh, I'm like a guru. No, but I will also say that, you know, one of the things that like we're both really blessed with is that we do have some mentors and some contacts in this industry who just from like previous jobs and we both were management assistants there. I mean, we technically still are, but we're furloughed. Wham. We're able to like reach out to the folks there and be like, how do we do this? Or like, you know, because they all just know and they're all so supportive and, you know, mm-hmm. company managers, associate general managers, like what a bunch of pals. And like a bunch of them came and watched open and like gave us some feedback. And I would just say like foster those relationships and like never take those relationships for granted and be kind to everyone that you meet. Because, you know, you just never know, like, what relationship is going to end up being important, and all of them are important, but, yeah, I think, like, yeah. If you're in an opportunity to, like, learn as much as you can, you know, Ashley and I did a ton of filing, but, like, man, were we reading the invaluable to be like, okay, well, now we know what this looks like, and what this looks like, and, you know, how this is supposed to be done. So yeah. I would just say, learn as much as you can, ask questions, ask for help.
And do it.
And do it. Yeah. I will add a little bit as a person, maybe just like as general advice in life, just like be kind to people and not even necessarily because that might be a great like relationship, but like the world is harsh enough and it's just easier to deal with nice people than it is to deal with horrible people who reach out to you on Instagram. Yeah. Be kind to yourself and grant yourself some grace. And it's okay to, you know, have an off day. Just get up the next day and keep at it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One off day doesn't completely erase everything else.
And it'll be hard to remember that lots of times, but...
Especially this year.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah. But surround yourself with really good people who will support you and take care of you even when your brain is telling you lies. And even when you're having a hard time and the people who celebrate your successes are the ones you want to be around. Mm.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That should be... I need that in like recorded. Well, it is recorded. Perfect. I'll just loop it.
Make it into your ringtone.
And I'll play. Yeah, I was going to say.
Advice with Laura and Ashley.
It'll just loop while I'm sleeping over and over again.
It's like a good little mantra.
You will succeed.
Well, before we get to our last two questions, is there anything else you guys would like to add, where we can find the company, projects, or anything we didn't touch on?
Yeah, you can check out our website, partyclawproductions.com. We update that frequently with, you know, current projects, what's upcoming. You can contact us through our website. You can also follow us on Instagram at partyclawproductions. Yeah, and like I said, we love just connecting with people. Like, it excites us to no end when, like, a person reaches out to us and they're like, we want to collaborate. And we're like,
like, oh my gosh.
And Ashley and I are like texting each other like, this person wants to collaborate with us.
Did you see this email? Oh my gosh. We just get so excited because, like, yeah, we're doing a thing, and if it resonates with people, awesome. Mm. We love to work with people. We love to work with people. Email us.
Mm.
Yes. Oh. Please do. Please do. And also, yeah. That's awesome. I don't know what else I was
perfect.
Thinking. Also, play Dream Phone.
Honestly, truly. Yeah. I have decided, I was thinking, I was like, am I going to cut that out? No. No, that whole tirade's going to be on there.
Please do. I mean, it says a lot about who we are as a company.
Yeah.
90% of my personality.
I'm like, when we have our brownstone, you're welcome to come and play Dream Phone with us.
Yeah.
Like, be in the lobby, like, while you wait.
We're just, like, going to intentionally have people wait 20 minutes so they can get through a whole round of Dream Phone.
Because they didn't get what they wanted.
It happens sometimes, you know.
You know, sometimes it happens. Sometimes you can cheat the phone and get the one you want. So I'll teach you that.
Sometimes mom says hang up.
Oh yeah. Sometimes. And that's life. Oh my gosh. Well, I ask the same last two questions to everyone that comes through the podcast. First, what is your second favorite color?
Emerald green.
Emerald green. Why emerald green?
A few reasons. My mom's birthstone is emerald. Which is like the cute aw one, but then also because I really love Wicked and Elphaba is green. So that's my, oh ew, she's like a theater. Yeah, that's, yeah. But it also, it's just like a very complimentary color. Like, my hair is dark brown and like green goes well with it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And what about you, Laura?
So my second favorite color is pink.
What, like hot pink or like pastel, like, pink?
Like a pastel pink, like a soft pink. So my favorite color, I'll just say, is mustard yellow.
I see it. You've got great earrings on.
Never be able to tell. Makeup. What?
But I love a pastel pink. I don't know why. Like, I think it's just like, I can't even describe why, but it just like, it just makes me happy. But also I think it's like the inherent like femininity of it, but also that like people have like reappropriated it to like be this sort of like badass color, like this soft pink. Also, like, because I have this like super platinum hair.
Oh, it complements it nicely.
Yeah.
Mustard yellow goes with it. Really just.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I like that. Those are excellent reasons. I'm still laughing about Elphaba a little bit.
That's okay. I understand.
No, but hey, I have the book, so you know. It's good. It's a great book. It's a great book.
It's like definitely wackier than the musical is.
Oh, it's so much cooler, I think. I think it's all kinds of wild.
And like Fiero is supposed to have like full body tattoos and be like kind of crazy looking. And I'm like, I'm here for that. I want that.
Exactly. He's not supposed to be a super pretty boy. It's fine. It's fine.
I mean, we'll take it if we have to. Okay. Maybe there's a Wicked Dream Phone and it's like Fiero who you're calling.
You're like, your choice is Fiero or Bach. That's it.
Or Chistery the monkey.
Yeah. Oh, I used to bartend Wicked and a bunch of other shows, but yeah, that was I think I saw Wicked, most of Wicked, over 100 times. Truly,
that's incredible.
It was a great gig, really. We got to bartend like Hamilton and a bunch of other stuff too, so it was like, it was pretty dope.
You actually might know our friend Brooklyn then. He would bartend and do merch for Hamilton.
Did he
3 years ago?
What is he also a barber? Like hair? Does he cut hair?
No, he does not.
There was a guy named Brooklyn who also cut hair, who was one of the merch people. So that's weird.
Well, maybe Brooklyn cut hair. I don't know. He does. He's a very talented man.
I might be mixing people up. So fair. Maybe. That's And last, our last question.
Ooh.
What, in your opinion, is the best part of being a woman?
Laura and I were discussing this question earlier, actually, because I have been asked the inverse of this question.
Always.
Countless times.
What's the worst part?
It's literally like, what is the worst part about being a female director? What's the worst part about being a female actress? Like, what? But you never get this question. So thank you so much for asking it. I would say the best part about being a woman is like the unspoken sisterhood that you have between all women. Like when you're standing on the subway and there's like a guy who's kind of like being weird, like you'll make eye contact with a woman in her 60s who like looks back at you and she's like, no, I got you. You're fine.
Yeah.
I think that's just a really beautiful, like unspoken thing.
Yeah.
It's like a built-in support system. Mm. And I always feel more comfortable around women. I'm not sure what that says about me, but, or like our society potentially.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think it's really great to have a connection with other women and know that we are, you know, all together and kind of all have each other's backs.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And what about you, Laura? What's your favorite part?
Ditto. No, I'm just kidding. I mean that, same. But also, I would say, you know, as women, like, we just inherently have to work harder for everything. Mm-hmm. And I would say that that is a blessing in many ways, because, you know, I work my ass off for everything that I have, and not to say that men don't. I just think that, you know, especially in this industry and especially, you know, doing what we're doing, it just makes the successes like that much sweeter. Mm. To just know that like I'm overcoming obstacles and like breaking barriers. And also just like the emotional intuitiveness of being a woman, I think it's like great. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm formulating words, but you've already said them all, both of you. So I'm like, well, but no,
ditto.
Yeah, no, it's truly, I think the sisterhood is incredible. That's something that's been really amazing about this podcast is the immediate connections that have been happening with people that I don't know, that I've never met. And under any other circumstance, I really don't think a majority of these women I would have met, just because some are in completely other parts of the world. And then you guys are in New York City here, but who knows when our paths would have, I feel like they would have crossed, but like, you know, who knows when that would have happened if not for this type of thing. And the sisterhood in it is just so cool. It's so cool. I love that. I love that, you guys. You guys are so cool. Are we friends now?
Absolutely. Yes, we're friends now.
Thank you,
yes,
guys.
We are.
Thank you guys so much for taking the time to sit down and chat today. I can't wait to see all of the amazing projects that are going to be coming from you guys. I'm so excited about what you guys are doing. Your mission is incredible, and I know that it's going to be so appreciated from all these people in our industry who are probably always definitely feeling like their voice isn't being heard and their story isn't being told.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much for having us. Honestly, it's like a really cool experience to just be able to talk about the work that we love so much and be able to like share this with other people and potential collaborators and definitely future Dream Phone players when we have our $1 million brownstone.
I think there needs to be a Dream Phone tournament.
All right, oh, we, yeah.
We gotta like eBay, we gotta find like multiple Dream Phone games, have a tournament. It's gonna be excellent.
Amazing. This is a thing now.
Great. Social events. It's done.
Oh my gosh. And thank you, Herstorians, for tuning in again. Subscribe. You know the drill. It helps us grow and grow every week. Follow our social media, Twitter at the Her Story Pod, Instagram at Women of Her Story Podcast, and visit our website at ofherstory.com. Until next week, be safe, stay healthy, and show the world what you're made of.